Brother Steve has already expressed. Indeed, we're thankful for your presence tonight. As I look in the audience, I see a good number of people that I've come to love and appreciate in the years gone by, and appreciate so very much your presence tonight in this, the last meeting together as we study the word of Almighty God. As I said at the beginning of the meeting, we had several visitors here from Ray's Branch, and several back again tonight, and I really think maybe they're a glutton for punishment. Anyway, we're glad they're here. I appreciate so very much they're coming to be with us to encourage me. They listened to me for 25 years, and they may hear something they've already heard before, but I'm glad they're here. Appreciate having them in our audience tonight. I've enjoyed the week immensely with you, and I trust that our studies together have been one to be profitable for each of us. We're going to change our study style a little bit tonight as we study together, as we talk about when the books were open. The Bible plainly states that it's appointed unto men once to die, then after this the judgment, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And we hear the Apostle Paul, as he spoke to the Athenians in Acts the 17th chapter and verse 30, pointing out the fact that God has appointed a day. There's a day that's been appointed in which God himself shall judge the world. So in our study tonight, I want to tell you a story. A story that is about that particular day. The day in which God will judge the world. And how that day affected one man and his friends. And as we talk about when God opens the books. For our study together, I want to call this individual Joe Smith. What kind of a fellow was Joe Smith, you say? Well, Joe Smith was just an ordinary fellow like you. Joe Smith lived in an ordinary community, ordinary town, just like you. He lived in a community just like you. As a matter of fact, just down the street from Joe Smith, there lived this individual with the name of Mr. Johnson. Andy Johnson was his name. Andy was a middle-aged man. Andy was a professor. And he taught this little college down at the end of town. But Andy didn't think a great deal about religion. As a matter of fact, he wasn't too impressed with it. He felt like that religion was only for those individuals who needed a crutch. And he felt like that they needed that in their lives when everything else fell apart. As far as Andy was concerned, there was no such thing as a reality concerning heaven or hell or eternal punishment. As far as he was concerned, those things went out with a hoop skirt. He was a real positive individual as far as his thinking was concerned. Next door to Andy lived this little lady by the name of Miss Brown. Miss Brown was a sweet little lady. She was in her early 60s. And she could have had anyone she wanted in her day. But that fellow just didn't come along. He never came along. And so now Miss Brown is spending her time giving herself to others. And so when there's a need in town, you'll find Miss Brown there. If there's sickness, you're going to find her there. She'll be there with that pleasant disposition that she has and that smile on her face. And everybody says that Miss Brown is worth more than a whole drugstore full of medicine. Just her presence and being there. Well, Miss Brown was not a religious person. She didn't go to church. Churchianity is what she called it. And so she never went. And not only did she not go to church, but you see that occasionally there would be somebody that would come by and stop and talk to Miss Brown about her soul. And she would say, "I'm going to be all right. Don't you worry about me." But you know, and she said, "But I surely do appreciate you coming by to talk to me." You couldn't help but love Miss Brown. You couldn't help but love her. Next door to Miss Brown was old Charlie Crane. Everybody called him Brother Charlie. Why did they call him Brother Charlie? They called him Brother Charlie because that's what he wanted to be called. And every time that you had a conversation with Brother Charlie, it would be filled with scriptural quotations. Now, many times it would be chimney corner scripture, but hardly anybody knew the difference. And old Brother Charlie had a sermon that was somewhat like this. Honesty and sincerity. Yes, sirree, that's what it takes. As long as an individual is honest, as long as an individual is sincere, and as long as an individual lives by those things that he believes to be right, he's going to make it right through the gates into those pearly gates in the city. And about that time, he'd slap himself on the knee. And when he would do that, everybody'd nod in agreement with him. Next to old Brother Charlie, there was a young couple for our study. Dick and Darlene Dennison and Dick Jr. Dick Jr. was a little bitty fellow. And he was the apple of Dick's eye. Oh, Dick thought the sun rose and set with him. He dearly loved his son. The only thing that marred the marriage of Dick and Darlene was the fact that Darlene was a member of the church and Dick wasn't. He wasn't. Oh, Dick knew the truth. He knew the truth and he knew that he ought to obey the truth. And Dick went with Darlene every time the doors were open. He would go with her. And they'd take their son, Dick Jr. Why, Dick could tie old Brother Charlie up in knots with his sermon about honesty and sincerity is enough. But oh, Brother Charlie always had the answer for Dick. He just straightened himself up, looked right at Dick and pointed his finger at him and says, "How come you ain't a Christian?" And all Dick could do was just drop his head in shame. Next to Dick, there's another family. Ed and Edith Munker. And their little girl, Evelyn. Oh, incidentally, they're not related to Archie. But nonetheless, these two individuals are members of the church down on the corner. But the sad thing is now that they never go. You see, whenever Edith was expecting Evelyn, she didn't feel like going. So they didn't go. And now the little Evelyn is born and she's about 2 years of age. They still don't go because she's too much trouble. Oh, Ed had thought at different times in his life what he would do. Well, he would just go back and be restored himself. But he didn't do that. He rationalized, "You know what I'll do? I'll just wait until we both can walk down the aisle together and be restored at the same time." And so Neither of the two took that step to be restored. But, you know, next to Ed and Edith, there's another family that lives right next door to Joe. And this family, we're going to call in our lesson, Mr. and Mrs. Jim Jenkins. Old Jim and Mrs. Jim. They are members of the church down on the corner. Members of the church. Now, before Mrs. Jim was sick, and she'd been bedfast for many years, but old Jim had managed to take care of her during that period of time. Both of them were members of that church. And before Mrs. Jim had actually gotten sick, they both could be seen going to services of that little church on the corner. Rain or shine, they would go. But now, old Jim goes by himself. Has to go alone, but he goes nonetheless. And he would make sure that Mrs. Jim had everything that she needed. He'd place her Bible on her lap, kiss her on her cheek, and out the door he would go saying, "I won't be long, honey." Even though Mrs. Jim took up a lot of old Jim's time at the present, Jim still finds enough time to be able to help and teach those people in his community. Well, there was one time that old Jim and Mrs. Jim taught everybody, had gone from door to door in their community, teaching everybody the Word of Almighty God. And as a result of those two people, about a dozen people had obeyed the gospel and had been immersed in the baptistry down at the corner in that little building. These are the friends, neighbors of Joe, Smith. As I said a few moments ago, just like the neighborhood in which you and I live, no different, no worse than neighborhoods the world over. But now we come to that day that God appointed. The day He appointed. And it just so happened that there was a special service going on at that little church down on the corner. And while that special service is going on, old Jim was at that special service. Dick and Darlene and Dick Jr., they were there. Mr. Johnson was at home, as was Miss Brown. Ed and Edith Bunker, they were home along with their little one. Charlie Crane was elsewhere. And Joe was where he always was when there was a special service in that little church building. You could just count on him being there. Wherever he was. The judgment day began with the coming of the Son of Almighty God. It began with the coming of Christ. And Joel recalled that the Apostle John had written, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, Revelation 1, verse 7. And Joel also recalled that the Apostle Paul had written in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians rather, chapter 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, when that shout came from heaven, it shook the whole neighborhood. Mr. Johnson ran outside and he looked up. His mouth dropped open as if it were on hinges, but Mr. Johnson couldn't say a word. Miss Brown, she could talk, but all she could do was flutter her hands and say, "Oh my, oh my." Ed and Edith Bunker. Edith was rocking her little girl when she heard that shout. And so she set her little girl down and she ran to the door, and almost she perceived what was taking place, and she turned around to pick up her little girl, and her little girl was gone. And at that little church building down on the corners, the preacher had just extended the invitation. The song leader had just started singing the song. And Brother Steve led a few moments ago, "There's a great day coming. A great day coming." And Dick had been struggling with himself. As usual, he knew what he should do to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he just never got up the nerve to do it. Why, Dick had even gone so far as to think about pinching little Dick Jr. to get him to cry so he could get up and take him out and not have to listen to the invitation song. And just then that shout came, and the roof of that little old church building split right open, right down the middle. And every startled face was bathed in the light from glory above. And from here and there, people of that little congregation began to rise into the air. Well, there was the preacher, and there was the song leader, and there was old Jim. And Dick Dennison shouted out, "Just one more verse." With a quivering voice, he cries out, "Just one more verse." But it was too late. The invitation was over and final forever. Never be extended again. And then Joe recalled that the Apostle Paul had said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Then there was a period of great catastrophe began. And throughout the world, calamity reigned. And Joe again recalled that the Apostle John had written, "There was a great catastrophe, and the heavens departed in a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place." Revelation 6, verses 12 through 14. And he also recalled that the Apostle Peter had said, "The day of the Lord will come as the thief in the night, in which the heavens shall melt with a fervent heat, and the elements shall be burned, earth shall be burned up, and the works therein shall be burned up." The physical universe was now void of light except for one little spark, and that one little spark was the fact that there was a world burning up. A world burning up. Now all had been launched out into the presence of Almighty God. All had been launched out into the judgment. Now, at the judgment, Joe saw a vast throng of people from every nation topside of God's green earth. He saw all kinds of people. He saw tall people, short people, heavy-set people, skinny people, all various colors of skins. People from every nation, people that ever walked outside of God's green earth was there. And then Job recalled that the Apostle Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we might give an account what we have done, whether in his body, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Why, all of Job's friends were there. Why, there was, they were there. There was Mr. Johnson and Miss Brown, and there was Brother Charlie Crane, and there was Dick and Darlene Dennison, and Ed and Edith Bunker, and there was old Jim and Mrs. Jim. And incidentally, Mrs. Jim could now stand straight and tall and strong. And before them was the majestic throne, and Mr. Johnson collapsed in a quivering heap, and he began to mumble and say, "I didn't mean it, I didn't mean it, I didn't mean it." And it seemed like to Job that he could hear him say something about a crutch. And then Job recalled in Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, Paul said, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God." And from that throne, books came into view. And Job recalled, in Revelation chapter 20, 11 or 12, "And I saw great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And even without the familiar black binding, the golden edges, and from a distance, why, Job could tell that one of those books was the Bible." And Job could recall that our Lord had said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth you and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." No words of men were found. There were no catechisms, there were no creeds, there were no disciplines. Just simply the standard, the word of Almighty God by which all of us were judged. And again, there was another large volume brought into sight. It looked to Job that it was worn and stained with celestial tears. And Job again recalled in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, where John said another book was opened, which is the book of life. And Job recognized just about that time there was a breeze, as it were, that came by, and the leaves of that book of life began to open up. And from a distance, Job could see, well, there's Moses. And well, not only is the Moses name, there's Abraham, and there's David. Well, there's Peter, and there's Paul. And almost instantly, with every heartbeat, everyone that was present were thinking the same thing. Is my name written there? Is it there? And finally, there was one last book brought into view. And when that vast assembly of people saw that particular book, they grasped for it. See, it was the record of all of their lives. A record of all of their thoughts and all of their deeds and all of their unguarded words, good and bad things, including every unrepented of sin. And Job again recalled that John said in Revelation 20 and verse 12, "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works." And one by one, Job watched as the Word of God was compared with their record. And one by one, he saw the book of life checked, and one by one, they went either to the right hand or to the left. The wicked stood before God. The drunkards, the adulterers, the lascivious, the murderers, the thieves, and the liars, they all went to the left. And Joe recalled that the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20 tells us that such individuals shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The righteous also stood before God and they were judged. It was not so much as a matter of determining innocence or guilt as it was a matter of showing justice and passing sentence. And whatever the verdict was, every person there knew that verdict was right. And finally, the time came for Joe's friends and Joe's neighbors to be judged. And Joe thought to himself, I think what I'll do, I'll just step over to the side and I'm going to watch and I'm going to see what happens to my friends and what happens to my neighbors. See what takes place. And just then a voice from heaven calls, Miss Brown. Sweet little Miss Brown. Helpful little Miss Brown. Unprepared little Miss Brown. She thought like so many people today do, that when she stood before the throne of Almighty God, there would be balances and there would be scales, and her good works would be weighed on one side and those bad on the other side, and everybody knew that her good works would outweigh the bad. But now she realizes that it's the teachings of the Word of Almighty God that's going to be compared with her life. She trusted in her own goodness when she should have trusted in Jesus Christ. And Joe recalled that Jesus had said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins, in John chapter 8 and verse 24. And the Lord further said in verse 21 of that same chapter, whither I go, you cannot come. And the faith of Jesus should have been exercised in repentance and confession and baptism, as the Jews did on the day of Pentecost, but the record showed that no such obedience had taken place with sweet little Miss Brown. And so Miss Brown went to the left. She went to the left. Then that voice again spoke from heaven and says, Charlie Crane, old brother Charlie. Oh, it became more and more apparent to Brother Charlie that it did indeed make a difference what one believed. And Charlie waited nervously while the comparison was being made, but he knew what was going to be found. And when it was finished, in a quivering voice, old Brother Charlie said, but Lord, you know I belong to a church, Lord. You know I prayed to you, Lord. And you know, Lord, you know I did good works in my church. But it was no use. Almost before he received the answer, he too went to the left. And Joe recalled that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will come and profess of me in that day, have we done many mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name? And Jesus is going to reply and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You who work without law, without authority. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Next came the Bunkers. Ed and Edith. Before Ed's name was called, he said to Job, you know, I'm more fortunate than most. I had a godly mother. I had a godly father. And they taught me the will of Almighty God. And so I was baptized at the age of 12. And I've been a member of the Lord's church ever since. And just then, Ed's name was called and the comparison began. And the record showed that Ed was indeed had faith in Christ, that he had been baptized, and that there was genuine love in his heart when he had done so. But that comparison didn't stop there. And Ed began to turn pale. It seemed that there were certain responsibilities now that were his now that he had become a Christian. Responsibilities like attending the saints, the assembly of the saints. Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25. Responsibilities like living the Christian life as Paul instructed in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. To present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Responsibilities like using one's own talents. And Job recalled that Jesus had taught in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through verse 30. That there were certain talents. There was a one talent man, five talent man, two talent man. And the point of all that was the fact that you and I, that we all have at least one talent, maybe more. But you recall the one talent man didn't use his. And he spent, was cast into outer darkness. Joe recalled that. Ed and Edith, mother, Ed had not used his talents. Edith had not used her talents either. There was a responsibility to be able to teach others. You know, Jesus says you go teach, baptize, and then you teach again. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And the record of Ed's life showed neither a compliance with Christ's will nor a repentance over the failures of having not done so. The book of life was opened, and there was a space where Ed's name at one time had been written. Now there's only a blot. And Joe recalled that Jehovah God said, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 33. Ed went to the left. It was now Edith Bunker's time. Her husband had been judged. Edith had not paid a great deal of attention to what had been taking place, the proceeds that had been going on. But it seemed to Joe as he watched from a distance that she was cradling, as if she was cradling something in her arms. And it looked like to Joe there might have been a little tear going down her cheek. She had but one question to ask when the comparison was finally complete. And she said, "Where is my baby?" And that voice from that great majestic throne gently replied, "We will take care of her. We'll take care of her." And then Joe recalled, "Of such is the kingdom of God," Mark 10 and verse 14. Ed was waiting for Edith. And now they went together to the left. Ed had waited so that they could walk together down the aisleway and be restored, but they waited too late. And now they can walk together into everlasting punishment. But as Ed waited for Edith, Edith turned her back on Ed. You know why? Because there's no love in hell. There's none there. Oh, but heaven's a place of love. But hell isn't. Joe watched them all. He saw Mr. Johnson be judged. And Mr. Johnson went to the left. He saw Dick and Darlene Dennison be judged. And Dick goes to the left. And Darlene goes to be with Dick Jr. And then there was old Jim and Mrs. Jim. And there was this voice that Joe heard that said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. And finally the judging was complete. And a figure on that throne said to those on the right hand, "Come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25, 34. And then that figure that was on the throne turned to those that were on the left. You see, God had not intended that it should be this way. And this place was originally designed for the arch enemy of Almighty God, Satan himself. But a sinful world had by and by enlarged, had perished in following Satan instead of Almighty God. That same world had resisted God's overtures of love and the sacrifices of His Son, Christ Jesus. God in His very nature could not coexist with sin. And in reality, they had sentenced themselves long, long ago. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels." Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then there was a great mass of people with heads down began to stumble into a pit from which comes the smell of a smoke of a million fires. And just before that last person entered into that pit, it seemed that these words hung for just a moment in the air. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 20 and verse 15. The figure on that throne closed the books that had been opened, and almost like a sigh, the words came, "It is done." Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 8. Mr. Johnson had been judged. Miss Brown and Charlie Crane and Dick and Darlene Dennison and Ed and Edith Bunker and old Jim and Mrs. Jim. The judgment day was over. Eternity stretched out before them. What did you say? What question did you ask? What happened to Joe? What happened to Joe Smith? Wasn't Joe Smith judged? Yes, Joe Smith was judged. The Word of God was compared with his life, and the Book of Life was checked as a final authority. And what was the final authority? Well, my friend, only you can answer that question. Because you see, when Joe stood before that throne, it was your name that he heard. Your name. Remember what I said at the beginning of this lesson? Joe Smith was like you. It was your name. I've been talking about you all the way through this lesson. Your name was the name that was called. It was your name that was compared to the Word of God. Your heart that jumped up in your throat when the comparison was being made. It was your faith that he received and was sent either to the right hand and to the left, or to the left. Now let me put the question back to you. What did happen to Job when the books were open? What did happen to it? Let me ask you the question tonight as we close our lesson. Are you willing to leave the record in heaven exactly as it stands tonight? Are you? Would you be willing to face it tonight as it is? Or are there some changes that you would like to make in it before that day? In that day, many would give all that they have ever possessed just to make one little small change, but then it'll be too late. But tonight, it's not too late. You can believe in Jesus. You can obey the word of Almighty God. You can repent of your sins. You can confess His name before this good audience. Be buried with Him in a water grave of baptism. Raised to walk the newness of life. And live so that you can be on the side where old Jim and Mrs. Jim was. Go to heaven when you die. Maybe you've done that. And you've fallen by the wayside. And you haven't lived as you ought to live. Why not? My friend, if you're in this audience and you're anyway subject to invitation, why not tonight submit to His will while we stand and while we sing, won't you come?
Oh, do not let